Good afternoon, everybody. Happy Wednesday, September the 20th, a glorious Wednesday. Overcast, looking like it might want to rain. Let's hope so. Why not? When I was down in the Bay Area this morning, where I live, before I came up to Sacramento, it was raining. Just a little bit of rain in the Bay, so we should have some maybe a little bit later today. 306 here at KFBK. Kitty, you mentioned the governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, coming, making another movie, right?
Apparently.
Yeah. You can't keep a good man down, can you?
I suppose you can't.
That is, you know, I'll make a prediction.
Please.
I'll bet that he wants to run for the Senate if DeFi says... No, she decides not to run. Now,
really?
By all indications, that she's going to run.
Yeah.
You know, she's acting like it. She's raising money, et cetera, et cetera. But so is he. He's doing all sorts of strange little things that he hadn't done apart from his, you know, he gave up politics, of course, when he left the governor's office.
Right.
And he went back into the movie business.
He did, yeah.
But you're seeing him show up at various events with Jerry Brown. He's getting involved in legislative issues. He's making the political rounds more and more. He's got his eye on the U.S. Senate.
You think that's what it is?
That's what I'm prepared to tell you. I won't share this with anybody else.
Okay, I'll keep it between us.
Yeah, hold it just between us. Don't laugh at me if it doesn't happen. But if it does happen, you're going to say, good old Bob.
Yeah, he called that one.
He called it. So there, you never know about this guy.
Well, it's those little signals and signs that you watch that kind of give you ideas about this type of stuff. So
yeah,
right.
And I bet you he could win.
You think so?
I think so. I think he could beat DeFi.
You do?
I do. I don't think he'll run against her, but I think he could beat her.
Hmm.
I mean, he's amazing.
Okay.
He's the Terminator.
Well, he's the Terminator, for heaven's sakes. All right. Well, we'll watch and see. I will note what you're telling me.
You heard it here first.
I'll remember that. I'll give you the props if you're right.
Thank you. And
that's
why I told you, because I know you have
a
mind like a steel trap.
And I promise to keep it just between us. I won't say anything.
Perfect. I can trust you.
Yeah.
Well, lots to talk about today here on the John McGinnis Show. I'll start with, there's breaking news out of Washington. The Washington Post has a story, just broke within the hour. Paul Manafort, this Russian thing will not go away, so don't believe it will. Paul Manafort offered to give a Russian billionaire private briefings on the 2016 campaign. This is what the Washington Post is reporting in the last hour. Less than 2 weeks before Donald Trump accepted the Republican presidential nomination, his campaign chairman offered to provide briefings on the race to a Russian billionaire closely aligned with the Kremlin. Paul Manafort, of course, made the offer in an email to an overseas intermediary. He asked that a message be sent to the aluminum magnate by the name of Oleg Deripaska. And he's a guy that Manafort has done business with in the past. There's no evidence in these documents that show that Deripaska actually did receive any information from Manafort, but the offer was made per the Washington Post. So that story will not die, will not quit. Yeah, and it behooves us to keep it very, very, very close watch over that, because it's going to be fascinating here as the months go by. I've been fascinated by this Ken Burns series, the Vietnam War series, the 10-part, 18-hour extravaganza that Ken Burns has put together, and I find it fascinating. I don't have a television, so when I moved away, when I left Sacramento, I gave up my television, so I watch it online. And I get something called the explicit version. I'm not sure how this is different than the version you get on PBS. The explicit version doesn't seem anything. There's nothing too explicit in that thus far. I've watched about half of it. But what I found is that, and I love the thing. I mean, I love what Burns has done with this. I love the fact he's got some incredible archival footage. They did an incredible job, a remarkable job of rounding up folks from that era, and particularly from the Vietnam side, both the North and the South. They have an incredible array of folks from former Viet Cong, former soldiers, former South Vietnamese soldiers, politicians, statesmen. They've done just a tremendous job with the folks that they have managed to haul into a studio and convince them to come onto the air and discuss their memories from that era so many years ago. And that's fascinating. And I the Neil Sheehan stuff. Neil Sheehan, of course, with one of the great early journalists who broke a lot of the stories out of Vietnam back in the 1960s, along with David Halberstam, who's no longer with us, but Neil Sheehan certainly is, and he makes a great contribution to that program. I'd love to hear what you have to say. I really want to hear from you if you are a Vietnam vet, if you are a person who was from Vietnam or somehow experienced that era firsthand. I would love to hear your thoughts if you're watching the Ken Burns piece. I want to hear what you think about it, because I found out that they've made one, I won't call it a mistake, but it's an oversight. They've emphasized one bit of history here that doesn't seem to be correct, and it's a fascinating part of history. And this is why I want to hear from you if you have direct experience here, as a veteran or a person who was involved in some way, shape, or form in the Vietnam War. But what they've done is they've set up, and this is, you know, this is, of course, it's a documentary, but they still have to have their narrative conflict. And they've really set up this conflict between the folks who stayed back home and protested the war, the hippies and the young folks, the students, and eventually more of the middle-class folks as well. But the folks who stayed back home and protested the war versus the folks, the soldiers, the men and women who served in Vietnam, the several hundred thousand of them who not only made the ultimate sacrifice, but the folks who managed to survive that ordeal and come home. And the producers of this Ken Burns piece, they have set this up in such a way that it's almost as if you had to make a choice. You know, either you were with one side or the other side. You were with the military side, or you were with the peace-loving, peacenik hippie side, the SDS side, Students for a Democratic Society side. And it wasn't like that in my recollection. And I was having lunch yesterday with a friend of mine who was a captain in the Army, and he came back through Travis Air Force Base in 1972. And this guy was remarkable because he 5 days after he returned from Vietnam as an Army captain, he was enrolled at UC Berkeley as a law student. And you would think that that would have put him right in the lion's jaw, right in the belly of the beast, given the fact that that was the ground zero. Berkeley, of course, was ground zero for all the protests and all the problems and fighting and battling. But he said no. He said it was fine. You know, folks joked about his experience. They told him how courageous he was to have come back to Berkeley, having served in Vietnam. And he never saw any problems along those lines. And I guess what I'm getting at is the whole baby killer spitting on the veteran routine that we heard so much about back in the day. And it turns out with a little bit of research that never happened. That the spitting on soldiers and the baby killer chants and that sort of thing, I shouldn't say it never happened, but let's put it this way. It was never documented. It's never been established that actually did happen. And there's another veteran, an Army veteran from Vietnam, a guy named Jerry Lembeck, and he is now a professor at Holy Cross. He's a sociology professor, a veteran himself, but he made it his work to go out and try to document the fact that soldiers were spat upon, and called baby killers, and given all sorts of have that type of abuse heaped on them. He went to find that, and he couldn't. He couldn't find it, and he did a book on this, and the book is called Spitting Image, Myth, Memory, and the Legacy of Vietnam. And what the professor found out was that it wasn't reality, it was the movie Rambo. The movie Rambo actually is where this whole myth began in terms of the soldier coming back and being spat upon, the Vietnam veteran coming back and being abused like that. That it came from the movies. It didn't really happen, or at least if it did happen, it wasn't documented. I'd love to get one of these days. I'd love to talk to the Professor Lembeck from Holy Cross and get his thoughts on this. He unfortunately is not in the Ken Burns piece. But if you certainly have a thought about that, or if you are watching the program and have some thoughts you'd like to share relevant to the accuracy of that program, I would love to hear from you. And if you'd like to talk about some other things, well, this is your show. This is the time for you to call. Let me give out the numbers here. 916-921-1530 in the Sacramento area, 921-1530. The toll-free number, 1-800-834-1530. We've got lots to talk about, not just Vietnam. We're going to talk about the exodus from California. More than 50% of people in California apparently want to get the hell out of here. And we're going to talk about that. I'll give you the poll question, which involves getting the hell out of here. Here's the question for today. This is at KFBK.com over at John's page, John McGinnis' page. And the question is, are housing prices or taxes more likely to make you leave California? There's your option. Housing prices or taxes more likely to make you leave California? Your options are A, housing. It's impossible to afford living here. B, taxes. We're not getting our money's worth out of services. Or C, both. I've had enough. There you go. Lots more to come. Stick with us. It's Bob Grasswich in for John McGinnis, News Radio, KFBK.
Sacramento's news, traffic, and weather. News Radio, KFBK.
R.E. Grasswich in for the sheriff on a wild Wednesday here. We're having fun at KFBK at 3:21 in the afternoon. Let's get right to the phones. We have a whole bunch of folks who want to get involved with the conversation here, so we're going to get right to it. We're going to go to Roseville and talk to Wayne. Hello there, Wayne. Welcome to KFBK.
I have a cousin who came back from Vietnam in the late 60s, early 70s, and arrived at Oakland in his uniform, and he was called names and spit on and called a baby killer. I don't know where your folks are getting their info, but I don't imagine it happened as much as people imagine that it did, but it did happen, and it happened to him.
Yeah. No, I mean,
he was very happy.
No, and I can imagine not. And I'm, you know, this is, as I say, this is a professor who is a veteran himself, Jerry Lembeck. He is a sociology professor at Holy Cross, and he got interested in the story because he couldn't find any documented evidence of it. So obviously there's clearly anecdotal evidence, and I've heard folks say the same, but he couldn't find any, you know, any newspaper, any police type reporting, any of that stuff. But you say, yeah, it happened to your cousin, huh? Down in Oakland.
Yeah, another thing, in Vietnam, what did we end up doing? Trying to bail out the French a third time in the same century, and it didn't work out.
It did not work, no.
I mean, I'm pro-government, pro-U.S., but we should have never got involved in that just because it was the French. Let the nice Vietnamese people have their own country and get out.
You know, and Harry Truman made that call way back when, and it took us a good 30 years to figure out that we'd made a mistake. What a mess. Yeah, thank you so much for that call, Wayne. I appreciate that. Let's go to Stockton and talk to Dan. Hello, Dan. Welcome to KFBK.
I was over there in Quezon in 70 and 71, and when I came back, I never had one incident where I was disrespected. And I remember when I was even in San Francisco, where I expected the hippies and the dippies to say something to me, I actually had a few of them come up on the street and said, "We disagree with you, but we appreciate the fact that you went over there and did what you thought was right." So I don't know where I'm sure some of the vets were disrespected. But I never had it, and I never have had it, and anybody that ever heard that I was over there always, said, good job. I was drafted, and I didn't want to go. My father was a military man, and so I went because I thought it was the right thing to do, and I wasn't going to run off to Canada to do anything. But I will tell you this. One of the things that I'm a bit bitter about this country and what's going on right now is that these wars go on, and then old men like me that are 72 years old, we go through our lives, and basically we're just forgotten. And that's the way it is with every war. You put enough time behind us, and then we've got a new one in front of us, and we don't seem to learn that when we're over there, overseas, and we're doing all of these things, let's just come home and take care of ourselves. What are we doing over there? We're doing the same stuff over and over again. I just don't get it.
You and me, Dan, you know, thank you so much for that. Yeah, and you asked the question. We certainly won't forget you here at KFBK. I can tell you that. I'm so glad you called. But, yeah, we're doing the same thing in Afghanistan right now. And of course, our president campaigned against continuing that war, and here we are getting in deeper and deeper and deeper. And God help us if we end up with another Vietnam situation or take a look at North Korea. I mean, and that's a whole other story, which we'll get to here down the road. And we certainly heard a bit of the president's thinking on that yesterday. I don't want to think about that. We're going to continue this conversation, so stick around. We've got lots of show to go, and we're going to get to your calls here in just a few minutes. We've got news, traffic, and weather coming up, so don't go anywhere. It's Bob Grasswich in for Sheriff John McGinnis. This is News Radio KFBK.
.com today.
You want to binge watch your favorite shows, but how is it impacting your health? We'll have that story tomorrow, starting at 5 on the KFBK Morning News with Amy Lewis and me, Dan Mitchinson.
Day destroys a night. Night divides a day. Try to run, try to hide.
Ari Grasswich in for Sheriff John McGinnis. That's another great thing about the Ken Burns series, the Vietnam War. The music we're hearing, you get all the you get the Hendrix, you get the Bob Dylan, you get the Pete Seeger, you get the Doors, you get it all. I haven't heard any Beatles yet, but I think some of that's coming. So anyway, let's get back to the phones. We're talking about the series has it sets up this the protagonist, the conflict, and I think from what I can tell, it exaggerates it a bit in terms of the hippies versus the veterans coming home in the early, well, throughout the Vietnam War, coming home. The baby killing business and the spitting on the soldiers has been exaggerated, according to a professor who is a Vietnam veteran himself, Jerry Lemke. He's out at Holy Cross. He's a sociology professor. He wrote a book on this called The Spitting Image, Myth, Memory, and the Legacy of Vietnam. And he could not find any documented evidence of people actually, of veterans actually being spat upon when they came home. So to the phones we go. We're taking your calls. I'm really interested in hearing what you think about the show. So let's go to Sacramento. We'll talk to Anthony. Anthony, welcome to KFBK.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm here. Okay, I just wanted to mention, you said that there was no or very little abuse of veterans. I just wanted to relate that I actually suffered a couple incidences. Would you like me to tell you about them?
I would love to hear it. Yes, sir.
Okay. In the late 60s, when the time when Jane Fonda was doing her thing and our Secretary of State and Senator John Kerry was telling everybody we were killing babies, I was a 125-pound sailor in my dress blue uniform. I went into a restaurant in San Francisco, and the patrons got hostile, openly hostile, and they threw their cokes on me and they chased me out of the restaurant through the parking lot. True story.
Wow.
Yeah,
yeah, and I bet you didn't go back to that restaurant.
Nah, it was an oddball restaurant. And I have been accused of killing babies. I've had somebody ask me how many babies did I kill. And I would have killed him, but I figured that wasn't socially acceptable at that time.
Yeah, it was certainly not. Are you watching the program? Are you watching the Burns series on Vietnam?
I miss the first ones, but they'll repeat. But can I tell you another story that I think you would enjoy?
Sure, make it quick, please.
Okay, I'll be real quick. After the Navy, I went to the Air Force, went to pilot training, and was in SAC, Strategic Air Command. Anyway, one of our service members died, and some officers had to go to San Francisco to settle his personal affairs, and he was relating his experience. One of the places they had to go to was in Haight-Ashbury, just a block or so from Ashbury on Haight. And they were in a blue staff car and in uniform, and they got out to go into a business to resolve his affairs. And a couple of hippies passed by him. One turns and says to his friend, "Wow, you see everything down here."
Well, the sense of humor. So there, you see both. You saw a little bit of everything. And thank you so much for that, Anthony, those stories and those recollections. Let's continue here. Let's go to Sacramento. We'll talk to Paul. Hello there, Paul. Welcome to KFBK.
Hello. Just calling to, I heard your story, and my father was a Vietnam vet, and I actually just got off the phone with him, and him and multiple of his friends were spit on at the San Francisco airport, called baby killers, and he had to rush to the bathroom to get out of his service uniform and get into civilian clothes so he could be left alone. For this professor to say that this never happened, I don't know where he got his degree.
Yeah, and I don't know where he got it either. And I got to clarify here for you, Paul. And I thank you so much for that phone call there. He was trying, and he didn't say it never happened. What he's saying, he couldn't document it. He spent I don't know how long, but he spent a good deal of time attempting to document that actually happened. That's not to say it didn't happen. That's not to say anecdotally there aren't stories. And that's why I've really asked for folks to call in, such as yourself, and you had the story about your father. Because we heard, particularly in Northern California, in the Bay Area, we heard so much about that. And the professor's theory is that this really got caught up by the movie, or got stimulated by the movie Rambo, the early Rambos, when that was, of course, a theme of Rambo, that Rambo was spat upon. And his position, the professor's theory is that has sort of morphed into reality. The myth of Rambo has become part of our collective history here. So We continue. Let's go up to Chico and talk to Ron. Hello there, Ron. Welcome to KFBK.
Hi there.
Hello.
Can you hear me all right?
You're coming through loud and clear, Ron.
All right. Yeah, I was drafted in March of 1969. I refused to go. I refused induction. I had long hair in those days. I managed bands, so I was hanging out with a lot of musicians, doing a little bit of traveling. But I had a lot of friends that went to Vietnam. Lost one of the closest friends in the world in Vietnam. I never disrespected anybody. I never saw anybody disrespected. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I spent a lot of time in the Bay Area in San Francisco, but when the guys come back from Vietnam, they go back to civilian life, you know, and then they be buddies again. You know, we hung out together.
Yeah.
You know, our lives kind of intermingled.
Yeah, no, and I appreciate that. I think, and that's the story. We've been hearing that story on and off from a lot of folks, that there was an acclimation. And of course, there are other folks who are saying that they did have some abuse heaped upon them upon their return to San Francisco or Berkeley or Northern California, which is a shame. We'll continue the conversation. We've still got plenty to talk about here on the John McGinnis Show. So stick around, everybody. It's Bob Grasswich in for the Sheriff. News Radio, KFBK.
The KFBK Afternoon News with Kitty O'Neill. Depend on it. Sacramento's news, traffic, and weather. News Radio KFBK.
Andy Clausen playing all of our classics from the Vietnam era, our producer. Thank you so much for that, Andy. And Andy certainly was not around in those days. I was. I was I turned 18 the year the draft ended, so got lucky. Very, very lucky there. Think about that every single day, the luck. Some folks not so lucky. We're talking Ken Burns' Vietnam War series here. Also wanted to get in this business about we get calls here all the time about people who are ready to leave California. Well, the Berkeley Institute of Government Studies, which is a legitimate organization, believe it or not, they did a poll here last month and this month, and they polled 1,200 Californians. 56% of them want to leave California because of the housing prices. There are also 52% in the Bay Area and 52% in the Valley say we're getting the hell out of here because of housing prices. I'll tell you what's going to drive me out are taxes. Not so much the housing prices, but taxes. Gas tax going up 12 cents in November. In July of 2019, you'll be paying 47.3 cents per gallon in gas taxes in California if you're still here. Back to the phones we go. Let's see. We're going to go to Eldorado Hills, and we're going to talk to Gene. Hello there, Gene. Welcome to KFBK.
Hello there.
Hello there, sir.
I just want to let you know that I spent three tours in Vietnam. In 66, I came back to Travis and to Pope Air Force Base, North Carolina. That was fine. I went back in 67, late 67. I came back to McChord Air Force Base in Washington, then flew out of SeaTac to go to Kansas City, back to Fort Bragg, and I went through hell at the SeaTac. And then when I came back, I went back in 69, and came back in, at the end of 69, and I went to a SeaTac, and we were warned and told that if you can, wear your civvies when you go out of SeaTac. And I got, again, it happened, and I flew on to San Francisco. I got the same thing, but then there was also the Harry Krishner?
Oh, yeah. I certainly,
yeah, they were there, and if you didn't give them the money, boy, they'd start on you.
Yeah. Not only if you were a vet, they'd start on everybody.
Oh, yeah, but they got going. But I don't know whether the gentleman you're talking about say it didn't happen, but I know it happened to me, and I know a lot of my teammates came out the same way.
Yeah. Well, it certainly happened, Gene, and I appreciate that. And what the professor, I can't speak for the professor. Thank you so much for that call, sir. Thank you. But the professor is Jerry Lemke out of Holy Cross, sociology professor there. And he's a Vietnam vet himself, and he was curious about this business of soldiers, veterans being spat upon when they came home. And he has not been able to find in his book, he reports this, he had not been able to find documented evidence of that happening. The book's called Spitting Image, Myth, Memory, and the Legacy of Vietnam. And he thinks that really the myth got going a few years later in the early 80s when Rambo came out, because that was the premise of the Rambo movies. That was the whole thing about Rambo being angry at society and not being appreciated and being spat upon. And, well, you know what happened to Rambo. The rest is history. We got a couple more minutes here for some more phone calls, I think. Yeah, let's go to Faye in Sacramento. Hello there, Faye. Welcome to KFPK. Hello.
Hi, Ari. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much.
Good. I just was in the car and I had to pull over. My husband was in Vietnam. He was in the Army, volunteered for the draft, and he was in over there for 68 to 69. And it was horrible when he came home. He was called names. He was yelled at. He was proud to be in the military, and he could not wait to get his uniform off. And we didn't go anywhere if he was home on leave or anything like that with the uniform on, because people were terrible.
Even
through the years, nobody wanted to talk about it. He didn't talk about it for years. And then finally our teenage son said, "Dad, why did you ever talk about Vietnam?" And he said, "Because nobody wants to hear it." And they said, "Well, we do." And then they must have stayed up all night looking at pictures and him talking about it. And then on another subject, as he got older, he was in heavy artillery, and he applied for VA benefits for hearing aids. Took him 12 years to get those hearing aids. 12 years.
Wow, a grateful country there, huh?
Absolutely. And so every time we see someone in a military uniform, you know, their fatigues, whatever, we just always say thank you so for serving, because he didn't get that same courtesy from other Americans.
And it sounds like it didn't destroy him as a man either, did it? He came through the experience okay.
He did. Absolutely did. And, you know, after him telling these stories, it was like there was stuff he didn't even tell me. Came home with a Bronze Star and, you know, presidential, some kind of citation, and never told anybody.
Wow.
About any of it.
Well, I want to thank you so much for that phone call, Faye, and,
sure.
And the very, very, very best to you and your family. And thanks so much for sharing that. I think we've got time for one more quick one here. Let's go to Rockland. Ray. Hello there, Ray. Welcome to KFPK.
Good show, Ari, as usual.
Thank you, sir.
I was drafted in 71 in the military police, and one of the MPs that I worked with at Fort Gordon, Georgia, was at Fort Carson when somebody named Jane Fonda spit on him, and that's been documented. So I'm not sure how hard this guy's really looked. Then I went to a small college up in Northern California called Chico State as a veteran, where I asked one question in class about, you know, something in political science, and I asked him, the professor, and he says, "No, I can still think because I wasn't in the Army. I can still think." That was the staff of your college up there. So,
well, it wasn't my college, but yeah, and I, you know, again, it's a grateful country. You know, we and that those kind of stories. Thank you so much for that, Ray. Those kind of stories drive home the fact that we have to cherish the sacrifices that our veterans make. Whether you served, whether you didn't, and I didn't, but I. My parents did, of course, but I cherish and totally respect the work that all of our veterans have done from day one. So thank you so much for all those phone calls, and I hope you enjoy that program, the Vietnam series from Ken Burns. If nothing else, it is certainly igniting some discussion in our country and discussions that should be taking place, because things haven't changed all that much. We're dealing with many of the same problems today. Well, that's going to do our program today. We're just about there for, okay, we got another couple of seconds here. Andy Clausen tells me. If you haven't watched the show, the Ken Burns Vietnam series, check it out. It is on the air. It's on PBS, but it's also online. I watch it online. You can watch them and you can sit there for 18 hours and watch all of them at once if you wish. It's not quite that compelling, but if that's what you want to spend the next 18 hours for, I would certainly recommend it. It is an excellent series. Great music, great interviews. Just a fine job, and hats off to Ken Burns for creating the series and for getting us talking about that sort of thing. Well, that's going to do it for me, Bob Graswich, in for the sheriff. I believe John will be back tomorrow. Yes, he will. And Andy Clausen, thank you so much for keeping the show on the rails. Up next, of course, the lovely and talented Kitty O'Neill with all your news. She's smiling, yes, as always. Thanks so much. Keep both hands on the wheel. Have a great Wednesday and a great week. Adios. It's News Radio KFBK.